a couple years ago when I was asked to share, we were down at 500 Platt Street, and I guess you guys moved. Do you guys have like a rotating chart where you write everyone's name down and you ask them every couple of years to share their story?
Sure.
Thanks. It's crazy because like 2 years ago where I was at financially, I had a gift of desperation 2 years ago. I told God, I was like, please help me find a job where I never have to work at this day spa ever again. And I was really humble back then, and I took whatever job was available, and I met this guy, John McAllister, and he helped me get this job. And with that, I was able to save enough money, you know, to move from where I was at in Tampa Palms to Cooper's Pond. But, you know, I'm going to talk to you about what not to do in early sobriety, because I made a lot of mistakes. So with that, I'm going to open up with a prayer, and if you want to join me, that's fine. So God, I offer myself to you to go with me and to do with me as you would. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I can better do your will, and take away my difficulties so that victory over them will bear witness to those that I would help of your love, your power, and your way of life. May I do your will always. Amen. So, it's crazy because, like, where I'm at now, I put an ad on Craigslist for a gay dude or for a straight gal to be my roommate to share my one-bedroom apartment. That's because in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to get evicted. I'm thinking that my car is going to get repossessed. I'm thinking that I'm going to have to give my animals to the Humane Society, you know. And this morning, I went to United College of Ministries, but I forgot my paperwork at home, my eviction notice, and all that. Went to Metropolitan, and I totally forgot all my paperwork, and I went to the back of the line, which was like on the other side of the building, and then I went to the very front of the line, and I asked the girl, well, when did you get here? And she was like, I've been here since 2:30 this morning. And in my mind, I'm like, really, you slept here? Like, isn't this gated? Like, do you have a cell phone? Do you have a watch? Like, are you homeless? And in my mind, I'm judging her. I'm like, if you're really homeless, then you shouldn't have a phone, you shouldn't have a watch, but really, who am I? Considering my economic situation right now. You know, the big book says sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. You know, these promises will always materialize, and it's like, I'm at a point in my sobriety where I was explaining to a friend earlier, a couple of my friends actually, that like I feel like I'm at one end of a dark tunnel. And the tunnel is like from here to the cafe. And at the end of the tunnel, there's this bright light. And it's shining and it's glorious. It's absolutely beautiful. And where I'm at right now, there's coyotes that and wolves and bears and lions and tigers, and they're all trying to get at me, right? And all these things represent my defects. They represent fear and cowardice and anger and resentment. And in order for me to get to the other side of the tunnel, I have to crawl on my hands and knees. Well, inside the tunnel, there's cobwebs, there's spider webs, there's black widows, there's tarantulas, and I can even hear rattlesnakes, right? But I know that if I get to the end of this tunnel, that I'll be fine. So it's like, I went to Lee Davis, which is a community resource center to help you pay your light bill and to help you pay your rent. I went to Metropolitan Ministries twice. I went there today and like last week. I even went to my car dealership to try to sell my car warranty, you know, thinking that if I sold my warranty back that it would lower my monthly payment. It's not going to lower the payment. And why am I doing this? Why can't I just ask my parents? Because I decided to take my will back about 9 months into my sobriety. And June 6, 2016, I decided to go against my sponsor's suggestion, and as a result of going against her suggestion, I have been snowballing downward very, very, very fast. And if you're new in sobriety, and if you have a sponsor that you trust your life with, just do what you're told. Because obviously, like, your sponsor's been through the same thing, if not worse things, and your sponsor will be there to guide you through whatever life shows up, you know? So, it's crazy. Like, I have cried so much in the past week. I cried 3 times on Thursday of like last week, and I cried 4 times on Wednesday. And I called my sponsor, and she was like, "Amanda, you need to hug your inner child." And I was like, "What? Hug my inner child?" She's like, "Yeah, obviously your inner child has been neglected, and your inner child needs some love. And you need to sit by yourself for about an hour and embrace your inner child." So I sat for like 20 minutes and I thought about how my inner child, and I wrote this down because I've never done this before. And my inner child, I love my inner child, I respect my inner child, I applaud my inner child, I praise my inner child. And then I wrote some other things like, my inner child is allowed to make mistakes. And then the last one that I wrote down is, my inner child listens and follows directions. Because I think that if I didn't take my gold back at 9 months, my life wouldn't be where it is right now financially, you know? And like, one of the things that takes us out is finances, you know? And I was in such a dark place, my friend, like, I called my friend and she's like, "Well, just turn on some Christian music." And I was like, "I don't want to listen to that effing GD Christian music." And what's funny about that is, like, in my car, I listen to Spirit FM a lot. It's like one of the main stations I have set in my radio to listen to. And like, I will turn up the volume as loud as I can and just have a concert in my car, you know? Because like, the songs are so uplifting, you know? But like, I was asking questions and I was like, can I stay sober without believing in God? You know? I was like, why should I pray to a God that doesn't help me? Why should I trust a God that doesn't, you know, do for me? You know? So all that crying that I was doing, just self-pity. You know? And my resentment towards God was really just me just trying to not accept reality, you know? And it's crazy because, like, do I bless God when things are good and curse God when things are bad? Or do I say, blessed be the name of God? God gives, he takes away, and blessed be the name of God, period, you know? And one of my friends is like, well, Amanda, if you stay sober, you'll be able to get through this. You know, everything will work out. And it's true. Because I'm here tonight. And I'm able to share with you, you know? So, I grew up wanting to be a Las Vegas showgirl. Yep. I grew up with no brothers, no sisters. I was talking in the car on the way here about how I used to like gather all my stuffed animals in my laundry basket and I would rock like this, back and forth like this with my stuffed animals in the basket, and I would read to them, you know, Disney books, because that's all I had at the time. And I was really mean. I was so mean. I made a girl eat dog food in my backyard. And then a week later, I made her defecate in my backyard. I wouldn't let her in my house. I was that mean. All so that I could go to this guy that I really liked. Hey, look what I did to Yet May. Isn't this so funny? Do you like me now? It's like everything that I did was for some guy's acceptance. some guy's approval. And when I first got here, I thought all the women were lesbians. I really did, because I didn't know how to be a friend with women. I didn't know how to be accepted. Like, I didn't know how it was possible, like, women would like me. Just me. Me. You know? And it's awesome. So finally, May stopped talking to me, and I went to 4 different schools, but I lived in the same house. First, second, third, fourth grade, we were all different. And middle school came around, and like May wouldn't talk to me anymore, so I had a best friend, next best friend named Nicole, and she had Down syndrome. And I treated her like gold, because I knew that what I did to May was really bad, you know? So, but, I mean, come on. You've got to be that mean to where the only person that will talk to you is somebody with a deformity, you know? Whenever I get back to California, I'm sure I'll be able to make amends to her if she's willing to hear me, you know? I don't even know if that's one of the amends that I'll make. Depends on what my sponsor says when I get on that step with her. You know, yes, I'm on my steps again. So high school was rough. My dad got custody of me in high school, and I didn't know how to be. I didn't know how to be a friend. I didn't know how to be a student. I didn't know, well, I did know how to be a student, but I didn't know how to accept the fact that I got awards. And I studied really hard. Like, school became my go-to. You know, school became my everything. Just so that I could study as long as I could and run track and field and cross country as long as I could, just be out of the house so that I didn't have to go home. Hi, welcome. Hi. You can come in here. It's good to see you. Take a seat. You're among friends. Thanks for being here. Good to see you. So I would walk across the stage and I would get perfect attendance and I would get honor roll. I was the teacher's aide, you know, so I'm the one that stayed behind that graded my teacher's papers because I was afraid to go out during recess because I had an interspirituality, and it really kept me messed up for a long time. So I graded papers and stuff, and finally I got into sports. And I always thought that, like, I got first or second or third place in sports because I smelled so bad that nobody wanted to run next to me, so they just let me get first, second, or third place. Because I didn't know about hygiene, and I thought everyone smelled like me. And all that. So eventually, you know, I got a job at McDonald's, and I was fired from McDonald's because I couldn't learn. It took me too long to learn, right? Well, my job was to be the cashier. My job was not cashier and run for food and clean bathrooms and take the trash out. My job was to stay in one spot, you know? But me and my sick alcoholic thinking, I'm like, oh, I need to clean and run for food and do everything else but my job. Because they don't know how to do it right. They can't wash the dishes right. They can't do this right. They can't do that right. I have to do it. They can't even take out the trash right. Like, really? So finally, I got fired and I moved on to Albertsons. I was a courtesy clerk and I would, like, help people out to their car, and I would bring in carts, you know, the grocery carts, I'd bring them back in. And I hung out with older guys who gave me the attention and the attention that I sought, you know. And I was introduced to some pretty hard drugs at that time, you know. So my first experience with alcohol was at a family reunion. This is funny. If you remember this from last time, you don't have to laugh. It's fine. Okay. So, everyone, like, takes out their false teeth, and they hold up their red and white can, And like they were laughing, and so I associated the red and white can of smelly funny liquid with the false teeth. And so I said, I never want to drink alcohol if alcohol is going to give me false teeth. Right? And then my second experience with alcohol, I am at home during the divorce, and I open up the fridge, there's a type of alcohol. I open up the freezer, and there's a type of alcohol. And I said, if alcohol is going to make me be like my mom, I don't want anything to do with it, right? So when I started drinking, all my goals got pushed away for the drink. Went to two different high schools. I took a two-year detour to go explore my singleness and my life, what life really had to offer me, right? And life had to offer me some pretty hard roads, pretty hard streets, you know? And I went places I never thought I would go. I did things I thought I would never do because I was under King Alcohol and I was subject to King Alcohol. And when I'm on alcohol, no one wants anything to do with me except the same people who are doing the same things that I'm doing. And even then, like, when I was trying to get sober, one of the guys that I used to hang out with was like, Amanda, it's either me or the alcohol. It's either me or the moonshine. And I was like, bye. I'm going to take the alcohol over you, buddy. You know? So fast forward to 2014. I go to a Figgy Paw event in July 2014. And had my last drink like around August, but I didn't stop smoking until September 12th. That's when I picked up my white chip. And I was riding my bicycle around to different meetings, and one of the meetings that I was going to was TGIS, which is now my home group. And it's crazy because I remember calling my sponsor and I was like, I hate this meeting. The women are so pretty. They all have cars, they have good jobs, they're married, they have kids. I don't want nothing to do with this group. I don't want nothing to do with this group, right? And now it's my home group. Imagine that, right? My sponsor was like, Amanda, stick with the winners. And obviously, that's where the winners are at on a Friday night. according to her, so that's fine with me. I really like doing what my sponsor tells me to do today. It took me like a year and a half to finally start listening, you know? I mean, I was honest, but I wasn't thoroughly honest. And one of the things about the steps is we have to understand that we are alcoholic. The book says that we have to conceive to our innermost self. You know, and I know for me, I can't ever drink safely. I drink just like you. I drink just like you. I drink to get messed up. I would say things like, you know, clear before beer, you're in the clear, or liquor before beer, you're in the clear, beer before liquor, you'll be even sicker. You know all those things, right? So I used to manage, quote unquote, manage my drinking with all of these things, right? And so I would drink one of my favorite drinks was like five liquors in one, and I would and then like I would start to get tired and I would pour vodka and a thing of Red Bull to like stay awake and stuff because I wanted to manage it. You know, I thought I was doing a good job. So I finally got a DUI. And I'll tell you about powerlessness. I got a DUI in Pasco County, and if I violated, I went to jail for a year, right? Well, if I violated, they would have extradited me to Salt Lake City, Utah, and then they potentially would have extradited me to Las Vegas, Nevada. Do you think I cared about the 2 years of my life that I could have spent behind bars? Because I wanted to drink and get high. Like nothing else mattered but drinking and getting high. You know, that's, I lived to do that, you know? And, but like, what I found in the second step is there's hope. There's hope that if I keep on believing in God, you know, and if I have faith that it takes for step three, that I'll be able to stay sober, you know? So doing my fourth step, I learned about courage because, like, it takes a lot of courage to look inside myself and to look at my part, okay? So the reason why my parents are not helping me is because I owe them an amends. But I'm not going to give my parents an amends when I'm financially broke, because I'll just say sorry just for the sake of saying sorry. That's not what an amends is, you know? And as my friend over here knows, an amends is discontinuing the behavior, right? And so we don't think that way, we don't act that way anymore, because we don't want those results. You know, now we are channels of God, and now we're used by God to further His light and His kingdom, right? That's what we do in AA. So, when the time is right, I'll be able to take that step. And integrity, like being able to tell someone my most deepest, darkest secrets, and trusting that person with my life. You know, that takes a lot of trust. And like, what is integrity? Integrity is, you know, what you do when no one's looking. Integrity for the sponsor is keeping that to yourself and God. And then to the sponsee, it's integrity because you're actually telling your story to your sponsor, and you're not leaving anything out. You're not manipulating the story to make it sound like, well, I'm justified. I'm justified in this. I did not have a part in that at all. I'm sorry, but yes, I did, you know? I chose to be mean growing up. I chose to be homeless. I put myself in a position to be homeless. And as a result of not listening to my sponsor, I am looking at these things that might happen as a result of not following my sponsor's directions. So in step six, I learn about willingness. You know, willingness to have God remove my defects of character, right? And so I've written a lot about anger and about resentment. I've written about denial. I've written about fear and cowardice, about denial, evasiveness, and lying. I wrote about self-justification, self-importance, and egotism. And what I find with my defects is they block me from God, and they stress me out. They do. Like, every time I act out, it's like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? It would have been so much better if I could have paused and not said those things, or just said, thank you, Jesus loves you too. Have a nice day. You know, try that one. The next time, like, someone really irks you, just say, thank you, Jesus loves you too. I bet you anything, you'll never hear from that person ever again. I'm serious. So humility in step seven. It's like, now that I'm depleted of these defects, what is going to be given to me? You know, what are my assets? And how can I use my assets in a way to better my sobriety and, you know, be with other people who need to see some hope, you know? I haven't written about my assets yet, but so when I haven't written about them yet, and then like brotherly love, justice, perseverance, spirituality, and service to one another. I think that because I haven't done a thorough 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, I'm not going to speak on that. So, if you're new and your sponsor says don't get into a relationship for a year, it's probably because you don't know yourself better, you don't know yourself good enough to be able to handle the ins and outs of a relationship. But if you get into one, they are good because then you have a mirror, you have a mirror image of yourself that's staring you in the face when you get up in the morning. You can see your defects like right there, and it's like, wow, okay, help me to be of usefulness to this person, help me to just be the best version of myself that I possibly can be, you know? And that's really, really, really hard. You know, I really struggled. Like, I moved this guy in because I needed rent. That's the whole reason why I moved him in with me. I totally used him, you know? Oh, I was so mean, you know? And I was like, so sponsor, do I owe him an amend? She said, nope. He signed up for it. I said, oh, wow. So let me just not do that anymore, you know? Because, like, we were both miserable. You know, who wants to live in misery, you know? I'm learning about humility, man. I've never filed for unemployment before. Do you know how humbling it is to, like, do that? I never wanted to be one of those people. I always judged myself and I always compared myself with other people based on what I had compared to what they didn't have. And now it's like I'm learning to see myself in other people. And like, because I did file for Florida reemployment assistance, it's leveled the playing field. Completely leveled it out, man. Now I'm just like everybody else who's filed for reemployment assistance. And it feels good. It feels good to be able to do the right things. You know, one of the things I did when I got sober was I got a home group, and my home group was the Mustard Seed, and they gave me keys to the church, like, my very second or third week, and they asked me if I would open up and if I would make coffee, you know, and I had that coffee commitment for, like, 8 months after that, and then they voted me as their GSR, so I got exposure to district level service. That was awesome. I went to quarterly assemblies, you know, I got to hang out with the winners. It was so cool, you know. Everything that's like happened in my sobriety is happening for a reason, for sure. I definitely see that. My home group was awesome, and then I got a car. You know how hard I work for my car? Like, I used to ride my bike everywhere. Like, I lived in Cooper's Pond, which is on Del Mabry and Hines. And, like, I would ride my bike, like, from there all the way down to TGIS on a Friday night. And I would ride my bike back at, like, 8 o'clock at night. And when it's, like, really dark out and stuff. And, like, that was really scary. But I did it. That's what my sponsor told me to do, you know? Eventually I stopped when I got a boyfriend because he became a higher power, you know, but I'll save that talk for another talk. I'm really grateful. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I'm really grateful that I can hold my head up high today, you know, car, no car, apartment, no apartment, cats, no cats. I know that, If I keep my sobriety, and if I just work this program, and if I stay close to God and perform this work well, that everything will work out. And if I'm supposed to lose my car, if I'm supposed to lose my apartment, I don't have to lose my soul. I don't have to lose my grace and dignity. You know, I don't have to like resort to old behaviors because AA's got me. You know, it always has. I just didn't see it, you know? It's crazy, like, now they asked me to find speakers for the 11:30 speaker meeting at 3333. I never thought I would ever be asked to be the speaker seeker for that Sunday morning meeting, you know? And just the things that I'm being able to do in my sobriety today, I never thought. I mean, so I'm trying to get into a new job field doing bookkeeping and auditing. And if you don't have an auditing background and if you hadn't had a class in accounting in like 5 years, jumping into this field, when you have college graduates who want to intern for the same company that I just started working for, that's like one of the reasons why I'm broke right now. That and driving to Mississippi, which is awesome. If you ever leave Florida, call up the central office in whatever state you're in and like see what the closest meeting is close to you and see what you can add to the meeting, you know? If it's just sitting, being quiet or greeting at the front door, you know? I remember I used to compare myself with other people and I would like not even go to meetings because I didn't like people there, but it's really hard to do that now, having to go the avenues that I've had to go for financial assistance. And it's good, you know? I'm staying sober by the grace of God. Thanks for letting me share.